Laughland in January, and our theme for the month of January has been the same as many of our centers for spiritual living, and it has been living the science of mind, because this year, the theme for the entire year of 2018 is 100 years of science of mind. Woohoo! What a great thing to celebrate. And we've only just begun. So we are speaking today about bringing the invisible into the visible. Everything that you've done has just been supporting that completely. It was like you knew what we were talking about a month ago. And we've been covering the first, is that me? No, the first four Sundays in January, we've been covering the first four introductory chapters in the Good Book, The Science of Mind. And it became known as the textbook because we use it in just about every class. So the first four introductory chapters, and it's a really great review for those of us who've been around for 900 years. And it's also very nice for people who are just learning about our teaching to see what the foundation is. So we covered the first chapter, the thing itself, the second one the next week, the way it works, the third what it does, and today, bringing the invisible into the visible, is based on the chapter, How to Use It. And Ernest Holmes, in his wonderful book, The Spiritual Universe and You, said, we have within us a power that is greater than anything we shall ever contact in the physical world. That's an important distinction. The power that is within us and all around us and is available to everywhere, everyone, any place we are, is greater than any physical condition that may be taking place. That's the key to this, you see. A power that can overcome every obstacle in our lives, and set us free, satisfied, and at peace, healed and prosperous in a new light and a new life. We are learning how to put this power into practice. It is a spiritual power. And it's a very practical power. Because as we become aligned with that divine presence, remember we are about courting the presence and directing the law. As we align ourselves with that beautiful, powerful presence within us, which is the love, which is the impetus of the entire universe and the entire creative process, we find that we are utilizing the same infinite law of mind that God utilizes in bringing forth universes. So we are the microcosm as God is the macrocosm. And we are a part and parcel of that divine presence. And we have access to, and every day we are utilizing the same law of mind that the infinite uses when it brings forth people and planets and things and beautiful demonstrations of new forms of aliveness. You see, the creative process, it's working all the time. And the more we become aware of it, the more we become at one, consciously at one with the presence, because we're always one with it. We don't always experience, have you ever noticed you don't always feel one with the presence of love? You don't always feel one with the presence of wisdom. Sometimes we do unloving and unwise things. And not people here, but some of those folks out there. You know, them. We use thought for specific purposes. We were given this ability to utilize our conscious awareness to plant fabulous, powerful, beautiful, life-affirming, creative seeds in the subconscious aspect of our minds, which are some part of the greater subconscious mind. Our conscious mind, part of God's conscious mind. Our subjective mind, part of the greater subjective mind. And the process is beautiful, and it goes on all the time. So let's get on board with it. Let's realize that we have something to say about how our personal lives are. We have more to say about the direction the world is going than we sometimes think. We need to remember that, right? And we are light workers, and thank God there are millions of light workers. And they're sometimes quiet. We need to sometimes, I think, listen less to those voices of ain't it awful and despair. And this is the way I think it's supposed to be. And listen more with that divine ear. Listen to the truth and then act accordingly. We have the ability to make this a world that works for all. That is a definite commitment that your Centers for Spiritual Living have made. We awaken humanity to its spiritual magnificence, and we are co-creating a world that works for all. Do you love the idea of a world that works for all? Are we ready for this? Yes, please. I like that. So we use affirmative prayer. The kids are upstairs learning it right now. Again, they learn it every Sunday. They have their own special rendition of it. They use things on their five fingers to remind themselves. Maybe they ought to teach that to us. Yeah, it would be a good reminder. It would be easy to get back into the consciousness of infinite possibility if we're as wise as those shorter people upstairs. Rumi says, work in the invisible world at least as hard as you work in the visible. We don't have to work hard in the invisible world, but we do need to pay attention and to work there. That's the intuition, the inner teacher to which we must pay attention. I want to pay attention to my inner knower. I want to be lifted up when I could be concerned with, not over the moon with, that's a good thing, under the garden with instead of over it, like the two people who met on the street, and one said, when asked the other, well, how you doing? And he said, well, under the circumstances. And his friend, who must have just come from here that morning, said, under the circumstances, Fred, you need to be over the circumstances. So we're constantly lifting ourselves up and reminding ourselves and remembering that we have within us a power accessible to change things, to transform what appears to be ugly or unpleasant or unlovely or awful. We have that power. We just forget sometimes to use it in a way that we are unified, that we understand that this power is something we all share, and that we use our affirmative prayer to bring the invisible into the visible. Rumi also said, all creatures day and night make manifestation of Allah. Some of them know what they're doing and are aware of their manifesting, while others are unaware. However it may be, Allah's manifestation is confirmed. Confirmed. Whether we know we're using the law or not, we're using it. And sometimes we use it in a limited way. And sometimes we actually can use it in an unlovely or a negative way. That's when we need to awaken to that spirituality that always exists within us, and let the inner wisdom guide us to utilize it in a more positive and powerful way. We don't pretend that unlovely things don't appear in the world. That would be insane. And this is a very sane teaching. And that would be what my friend J. Scott Neal, if we believed that these things have to be there and that we have nothing that we can do about them, and they go yada, yada, yada at us, that's what my friend J. Scott Neal calls nincompoopery. And we wish to rise above the nincompoopery and not allow it to drag us down, because then we become part of what? The problem. And we prefer to become a part of the solution. See how bright and wise and wonderful you are. This is why we're here. This is what we do. We're here to make a difference in our own lives. We have every reason and every right to be in loving relationships, every reason and every right to be prosperous, to be healthy, to be creative in a way that is co-creative with the infinite and with one another, which is why we are building this beloved spiritual community with an awareness that we work together, inviting spirit to express through us so that we can transform our own lives and then make a difference in our families. Let's start there. What a good idea. In our neighborhoods, in our workplace, wherever we are, in the post office. Really, you can make a difference there. It keeps the peace. It's a good idea. In our community, ultimately in our world. So we don't pretend that these things aren't occurring. Sometimes we kind of shake our head as we look around. That's the time to turn off the television. I like to be informed, but I don't like to be deformed. And my consciousness could easily become that way if I spent too much attention and time with it. So I need to realize that everything that's happened out here is the result of some thought. It might not have been my thought. I may not be responsible for it. What am I responsible for? I'm responsible to how I respond. I love responsibility. It's the ability to respond. I don't want to react. I do sometimes. Do you ever react? I try not to. Every now and then it's like, oops! I want to respond wisely, intelligently, lovingly, compassionately, understanding that there is another way to approach it. But I first have to align myself with that creative presence and remember that those circumstances, those events out there, if you haven't paid attention until now, pay attention now. I'm finally going to say something important. That stuff out there, as Don Miguel Ruiz would say, that mitote out there has no power of its own. It has only the power that we continue to give to it through our own fears and our own reactions. It has no power of its own. And the things that show up, like the ice cubes that are formed from the water that we put in the ice cube makers, trays, they can melt. They can become steam. We have the power to transform. It's like spiritual alchemy. We can change all the lead stuff out there into the gold of creativity and cooperation and compassion. We have the ability to do that. And we're waking up to it. We're aware now that we're surrounded, as Ernest says, by an intelligent force and substance from which all things come, the ultimate essence in the invisible and subjective world of all visible and objective forms and conditions. We have the ability, and we hone our ability as we come together in a community like this, in our classes, in our workshops, and sometimes just over coffee or tea. We're exchanging powerful ideas with each other. We are co-creating something marvelous in our own lives, in this beloved community, and in the greater community as well. So as I said, we court the presence, we direct the law. Everything begins on the inside. And there is that changeless reality, the divine presence of life itself, cannot be changed, can only be understood better every time we open our hearts and minds to it, can then become a power that we use powerfully, lovingly, wisely, creatively for good in our lives. And then the forms that we create, some of them we're delighted with. We must go to Kiki's house and see the forms that are being created by six-year-olds. But some of them are a little less lovely and healthful. When we recognize that we may have brought something into being, into our world, that we don't want to continue, presto magico, the form changes. The formless never changes. Isn't it wonderful to have something that we can trust and totally count on? The formless never changes, but we have the power to bring the mold of our great idea, our divine intention, our spiritual prototype, our mental equivalent, and let this wonderful divine substance fill it and bring it into our lives. We have the power to do that. We must do it. It's our God-given right and responsibility to use it in a positive, powerful way. So as we court the presence is warm. It is personal. It is nurturing. Is giving, and the law is impersonal and accurate and dependable. We make mistakes sometimes. The law isn't punishing us. It doesn't care who uses it. We talked last week about mixing colors. And I'm sorry, Diane's not here. We had a lot of fun with her because the kids were talking about how you mix red and blue and you get purple. And then I threw you off for a loop, I guess, because I said, what happens when you mix orange and when you mix yellow and pink, and Diane popped up with purple? We get conditioned, you know. So the law doesn't care. There's no judgment for the mathematician. It doesn't matter what your age or your education is, where you happen to be in the world. The arithmetic is going to be arithmetic, and you're going to get the right result or you're not. And the law of mathematics doesn't care. It doesn't go, oh, how could you possibly have said that 2 + 2 = 7? It doesn't care. It's accurate, but it is impersonal. So Ernest said, there is no sin but a mistake, and there is no punishment but a natural consequence. So the mathematician is punished by his wrong addition or subtraction, multiplication, or some of those other fancier things. I didn't get beyond geometry. But the law is the law. It simply produces what we've planted in it. And so it's wonderful. Are you disappointed that you don't get to hear much about sin around here? You don't miss it? Oh, good. Good, I'm glad to hear that. From the ancient Hebrew, tsin is the transliteration of the word that was used in archery that simply meant, whoops, missed the mark. I missed the mark. I made a mistake. You make a mistake. What's the best thing to do from having made a mistake? Learn from it, maybe? Not do it again, perhaps? That's it. That's it. And so we do, and sometimes it takes more than once, and that's okay. It gets our attention, and then finally we believe it. The absolute is changeless reality. The relative is designed for change. This world and all of its conditions and all of the experiences and all of the forms, whether they're made of clay or concrete or chlorophyll, they're all subject to change. Not God, not that divine essence within us all. That's what's changeless. Isn't it wonderful to know that we can depend on this? So let's never despair over personal or world conditions, because we don't want to add that negative energy. They did not come to stay. They came to pass. See how good you are. See what you got already. It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. So Ernest says, change the consciousness and the false condition disappears. Change the consciousness. Oh, I work within myself. I don't get out here and try and rearrange the furniture in the world. My living room occasionally, but I'll get some help with that. But anything else, I want to work within myself. That's where the power is. That's where the possibility is. And Ernest also says, change the consciousness and the false condition disappears. Conditions are not entities. We are entities. So let's stop giving power to the stuff out there. Let's bring it back where it belongs. It's true that the original spirit is harmony. It doesn't always feel harmonious, does it? We all have experiences where we start to do our work and realize, oh, I'm out of harmony. I may be temporarily out of principle. It's about oneness. It's about not getting into duality. This world works with polarity, but not duality. And when we feed that idea of two-ness instead of oneness, we're losing our power. Remember, there were two trees in the Garden of Eden. One was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We sometimes forget the knowledge of. It's not just the tree of good and evil. It's the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which means, oh, I can see that all is not all yippy-skippy glorious in my paradise. There's good and there's evil. I never knew that before. You shouldn't have eaten from that tree. Because now you're seeing from duality. But we needed, it was a rite of passage. We needed to go through that as a human race, apparently, in order, I mean, it's a metaphor. It's a beautiful allegory. And it shows us the stages of our divine, spiritual, human evolution. That from this oneness, suddenly like, ooh, there's two-ness. I landed here on earth and I'm crying. Somebody slap me. I don't like that. There's another tree. And the other tree is the tree of life. That's the one we're supposed to eat that fruit from. The tree of life, which is everything is possible. And I'm an individualized manifestation of that one life, and I'm given this co-creative ability, and I'm going to use it for good. You like that? I do too. We ought to make a religion. Oh, we have one, kind of. So we do our best to stay out of dualistic thinking. I mean, we can't help but slip into it sometimes. We're still in this human condition, right? We're just moving right along. As my now, I think, 98-year-old beloved chaplain minister friend of mine in Palm Desert says, I just keep evolutin' right along. We're just evolutin'. Evolutin' right along is what we do. And we are kind and gracious and gentle with ourselves while we do this. So we return often to the original spirit. The world, our families, and our friends all need for us to do this. Most of all, we need to do this. I know I need to. So we learn the proper use of our thoughts and our emotions. We train our minds to become more affirmative. If we're just 51% during the day, we're making progress. 51% more positive and affirmative than I was yesterday. 52, 53, do I hear 60? No. We just keep making progress. We keep our evolution right along. And we're training our minds. It is. It's a training process. And Ernest also says, while it is true that wrong conditions exist, they could not remain, we should be able to look a discordant fact in the face and deny its reality. How do you like that? Look at that discordant fact right in the face and say, you have no power here. Begone with you. My staff minister in Palo Alto used to say that. She would pull that routine. If something came up, she would say in her cackly voice, begone with you. You have no power here. Sometimes we need these little tricks, you know, to remind us, and that's okay. So he says also, we will not refuse to help the helpless or lift up the fallen, but we will refuse to wallow in the mud because of our sympathies. So what if there's misunderstanding? What if there's controversy? It will happen. It's part of our learning and growing up to be spiritual adults. Well, we return first to our oneness awareness. There's one, only one, that life is good, that life is God, that life is my life now. Oh, I remember now. And Edwin Markham, if we've got some conflict going on, remember he said, he drew a circle that shut me out. Heretic, rebel, a thing to flout, but love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that took him in. We need to expand our circles more. That in itself is a very healing thing to do. Ernest Holmes says, I'm a center in the divine mind. He says, the treatment is an intelligent, invisible, an intelligent energy in the invisible. So let's do our work conscientiously as well as consciously. Let's work so thoroughly in the invisible area where we go into the closet and close the door and do our inner work. Let's do it so intentionally, then leave the results to the law because the law is perfect. Ernest completes this chapter with, a new light is coming into the world. We are on the borderland of a new experience. The veil between spirit and matter is very thin. Ice, water, steam, it's all the same. The invisible passes into the visible through our faith in it. And we are developing our faith muscles. And the more faith, and the more clarity, and the more love, and the more passion we put into our spiritual work, the more beautiful the results will be. So will you say with me, I use the power for good to enhance my life.
I invite it to use me
to co-create a wonderful world. And so, my beloveds, beginneth our lesson. Thank you for listening to our podcast. We love having such a special means of connecting with you and trust you have enjoyed this message. If you have benefited from and been uplifted by these ideas and would like to learn more about our spiritual community, please go to our website at cslphilly.com. And if you wish to express your gratitude, simply click on the donate button to experience the joy of conscious giving. Your generous support makes it possible to share these messages of inspiration with all the world. Please share this message with anyone you feel might benefit and encourage them to subscribe to our podcast by searching GPCSL on your favorite podcasting application. Again, thank you for joining me and the Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living Community, as together we create a world that works for all.